Morning.
Morning.
Wow. Okay. It's temporary. And it's not that bright, is it? It still looks dark up here, but it's bright. I'm told just wait till these lights start working. Okay, so. You know how you get spots? Okay. I didn't realize until this morning that I'm speaking about peace, love, and nonviolence on Super Bowl Sunday. I'm not going there. You just connect those dots however you want to. So we know that each of us is an expression of the divine. Each of us, whatever the label, good guy, terrorist, running back, we are divine. And it's from that divine core in each of us that we will eventually bring peace to the earth. We're in the first week of the season for nonviolence. It started Wednesday, January 30th, which was the day Mahatma Gandhi was assassinated in 1948. And the season runs for 64 days until April 4th, which is the day Martin Luther King was killed in 1968. So 65 and 45 years, respectively, since their deaths. I'll tell you more in a minute about how the season for nonviolence started, but it honors these two men who taught the world that nonviolence has more power than struggle or weapons or hatred. Gandhi said, "Complete nonviolence is the absence of ill will against all that lives. It is pure love." The absence of ill will, pure love. So you know right up front, this is going to be about the inner journey. It's not just history, it's about your spiritual growth, your soul's work on earth. Martin Luther King studied the writings of Gandhi before he began his work in the civil rights movement. He even traveled to India to talk to people about how the process had worked there. And he wrote later that even though Gandhi was Hindu all his life, he was probably the first person in history to lift the love ethic of Jesus above mere interaction between individuals to a powerful and effective social force on a large scale. Love on a large scale. We're still struggling with what that looks like, how to achieve it, how to persuade others it's even possible. And sometimes we forget we have these recent role models in our history. Gandhi and King, you know their stories. They were both treated badly because of the color of their skin. Martin Luther King sat in the back of the bus in Atlanta. Gandhi was thrown out of the first class compartment on a train in South Africa, even though he had bought a first class ticket. And it galvanized them both. What would your reaction be? Probably either to fight back or give up. Fight or flight. It's easy to believe that inhumanity is part of human nature. Because we hear so often that violence will just always be with us. And our society buys into that. We label people and countries good or evil. We blame and track down perpetrators and punish them. We act from fear and anger in personal relationships and in geopolitics. And then we wonder why violence just seems to be part of the human condition. I guess there's some logic in violence, using force to get what you want. Even Martin Luther King, when he was in college, thought that armed resistance would be the only way blacks could ever win equality in the United States. But after he studied Gandhi, he tried a middle way between fight or flight. It's important to realize that nonviolence does not mean rolling over and being a doormat in the name of peace. It is not conflict avoidance. It is powerful resistance. It's just unarmed. It comes from a different consciousness than violence. It's more subtle, more spiritual, takes more discipline. We associate Gandhi with India, of course, but he began developing his nonviolence tactics in South Africa, where Indians were treated like scum, and discrimination was part of the law. South Africa was part of the British Empire, just as India was. So Gandhi's first mass meeting to explain the concept of nonviolence was in 1906, September 11th. The first 9/11 that pushed the world toward peace. 20 years later, Gandhi went home to India to continue to wage conflict, deliberate conflict with the British. There was no word for the practice when it started, so Gandhi called it satyagraha. Satyagraha. Literally, it means clinging to truth, but it's also soul force or love in action. In its outer form, satyagraha is an uprising, it's an action. Within us, it's our innate power to meet hatred with love, divine love. It is God within. Gandhi said, evil exists only because we believe in its power and support it with our violence and fear. You hear that? Because it sounds just like Unity's founders, who were writing and teaching during those same years in the 20th century. Evil exists because we believe it does. Withdraw that energy, and good will reemerge. Gandhi said you can't fight for peace. It's an oxymoron. They are opposites. Fighting and peace are opposites. But at the same time, he said you don't have to cooperate with injustice. Instead of violence, refuse to obey unjust laws. And yes, you may be beaten or arrested or killed. There's that famous Gandhi quote. It was in the movie. He said, they may torture my body, break my bones, even kill me. Then they will have my dead body, but not my obedience. Satyagraha does not mean holding back. It is actively influencing the opponent, sometimes with words, sometimes action. It appeals to moral conscience, so an opponent will see the error of his ways. Martin Luther King said, we will not hate you, but we cannot obey your unjust laws. We will so appeal to your heart and conscience that we will win you in the process. So in the civil rights movement, they took actions that revealed the tyranny of the system in a way that was just impossible to defend. Think of tired, middle-aged Rosa Parks just refusing to give up her seat on the bus. Think of seven black teenagers being spit on their first day of high school in Little Rock. Think of King's I Have a Dream speech in Washington. The world watched those events and had to reconsider its actions and acknowledge its prejudice. They used words, they marched, they boycotted, they marshaled the power of people to resist discrimination and to insist on fairness. They used soul force, satyagraha. And it worked, eventually. The British peacefully left India in 1957 and left South Africa 4 years later. The United States Congress passed civil rights legislation in the 1960s. For that matter, peaceful change brought down the Berlin Wall, broke up the Soviet Union. We're less aware that in the past century, democracy has come to Bulgaria, Hungary, Indonesia, Chile. What we call the free world is a lot bigger than it used to be. It's a larger percentage of the planet. Satyagraha is the energy of anger and fear that we all have converted to an active and creative force. It is not easy and it takes time. In Arabic, the term for nonviolence is sabr, S-A-B-R. It means patient endurance. In Latin America, the term firmeza permanente is endless determination, or I guess permanent firmness. After hating white people for all of his young life, Martin Luther King learned the primary tenet of nonviolence. You can't hate the enemy. You have to give up ill will. The struggle is against the injustice, not the person. Martin Luther King said, help us to see the enemy's point of view, to hear his questions, to know his assessment of ourselves. We may learn and grow and profit from the wisdom of the brothers who are called the opposition. those who are called the opposition. Those are our labels, our fears, our judgments. We evoke from people what we expect from them. Treat them with dignity and trust, you may get a different reaction than if you label them racist or terrorist. See the Christ in them, they might live up to it. When I hear about this practice of nonviolence, sometimes I think, that's just resistance. And we know that what we resist persists. But look more closely. They were standing for something instead of being against someone. That's walking a tightrope. We constantly have to reframe, rethink, remind ourselves that we're not fighting bad people. We are the ones who have to change. Be the change we wish to see in the world. Stand for it, support it, be for something, and let the rest fall away. Withdraw our energy from evil. That's a description of divine consciousness. Martin Luther King said, violence doesn't work because darkness cannot put out darkness. Only light can do that. We have to be the bringers of the light. But that's not how we usually think. When something hurtful happens, I want to react and fight back. How much spiritual maturity does it take to stop, drop into your heart, and choose a different way? That's where spiritual growth lies. That's why we get to practice divine love on this human journey. This year is the 16th season for nonviolence. It was established to remind us there are alternatives to fight or flight, and that violence only begets more violence. It was started by people we know, the Association of Global New Thought, which is an organization now based in California. It was founded by ministers from Unity and Religious Science, Kit's background, now the Centers for Spiritual Living. The season for nonviolence has been endorsed by the Dalai Lama. It was endorsed by Coretta Scott King. Every year, its opening ceremonies are at the United Nations. It is observed now in 900 cities and 67 countries. And each place does something different. They invent their own programs that promote nonviolent personal and social transformation. So one place will have seminars and panels, another will have a concert, another will have a march. They educate people in the principles of nonviolence and compassion. They identify the common factors that are at the root of all peace building. The Dalai Lama said the season for nonviolence reminds us about the concept of peaceful change, but also about the large unfinished work that we need to transform awareness on the planet. There's a website, of course, lots of resources. You might like the 64 ways to practice nonviolence. There's one a day. It'll remind you of the daily word, and I'll put that link in the newsletter Wednesday. In our church, watch later this spring for a class on nonviolent communication, which is the global work of Marshall Rosenberg. They're not directly connected, but the same principles. Cherie Burrows, who did the gathering prayer, is our licensed Unity teacher, and she loves to teach NVC, nonviolent communication. So I think that will start April 6th. So you may be saying, I would be saying, well, this is interesting, there's a season for nonviolence, but how do I use this if I'm not a world leader or a diplomat? I have no plans to march in the streets or lead a protest. And I don't think of myself as violent. The organizers of the Season for Nonviolence hoped to transcend religious teachings and find universal principles of peaceful conduct. What I see is the fifth principle of Unity's basic teachings, putting into action what we know to be spiritual law. So we start by immersing ourselves in oneness. We are one with everyone and everything. Gandhi was Hindu. They teach that all beings are unified in the one self, ultimate reality. Martin Luther King was Christian. And of course, Jesus taught the Father and I are one. We are one with God, one in God. So if we're all one, then first, do no harm. harming others only hurts you after all. It's like smashing your thumb with a hammer because you're angry at it or afraid of it. Who gets hurt? And then where is your focus? It's all on that point of pain. The obvious concern about remaining nonviolent no matter what is that the other side will just steamroll you. And it may look that way in a snapshot. Certainly, Gandhi and King were both turned back at times, and of course, they were both killed. But that was not the end. Their deaths somehow became part of the process. They knew they were at risk, but they were playing the long game, and they did overcome in the end. Nonviolence worked over time. It was more powerful. Do no harm is first, and then, as Jesus taught, love one another. These show up in three ways. Doing no harm and loving one another show up in our actions, our speech, and our thoughts. Action, you might not hit anyone. I hope none of you are living in homes with physical violence. I know some of you grew up with that. You might not hit anyone, but what about words? Ever toss out an insult or call a name? Or tell a lie, or criticize, or judge, or diminish someone's dreams? This is where I start to squirm. Words can be violent. Not just ugly and insulting, but lacking compassion, lacking love, lacking any sense of oneness or recognition of the other's humanity, even though it's flawed humanity, just like ours. The first act of war is to demonize the other side. So right there, we can stop, reframe, remember we're all just here on the planet. We're all one. So actions, words, and then thoughts. Are people safe to walk the streets of your mind? Maybe not everyone. Thoughts, of course, are the root of all words and actions. How much thought goes into war? How much thought goes into a fight with your spouse or parent or child? Do you ever make up angry speeches when you're alone in the car? Oh, thank you. I knew I wasn't the only one. But think about that. Think of all the energy and creative thought power that go into our actions and reactions when we're angry. What if we could match that energy with love? If enough people took the energy they put into being mad over little things and put that energy into love instead, it would light up the world. And then, of course, there are the thoughts you think about yourself. That's where the violence really takes place. That's where the harm is done, and that's what spills into your surroundings. Negative, fearful, angry thoughts within each person coalesce somehow. They set up an energetic vibration that eventually erupts on the planet as war, crime, terrorism, discrimination. So the answer is love and compassion in our individual thoughts and words and actions. First toward ourselves, and then toward family and friends, then to society, then to enemies, those we label enemies, and then nonviolence to the environment, to the planet. That's truly the key to world peace, but it starts within. It's simple but not easy. It requires 1,000 decisions a day. It requires staying awake enough to choose what we do and say and even think, and to remember how we want to be. It is love on a large scale, the absence of ill will. We may never understand our enemies, but we can't escape our oneness with them. Nonviolence is the graduate school of human relationships and global relations. Gandhi and King died for these principles, so did Jesus for that matter. Was it worth it? King said, "I may not get there with you," but he knew a better day was coming. Gandhi said, "Nonviolence has come among men and it will live. It is the harbinger of the peace of the world." They bettered the lives of millions of people without firing a shot or lifting a hand. We have volunteered for the human experience at this time in history, I believe. We came to bring soul force to the earth. Gandhi and King were our teachers, our models. We know how they thought, how they worked. We have a planet crying out for peace and harmony. What is ours to do? As individuals, as a church, as a country, let us be the change we wish to see in the world. So let's take these thoughts into meditation with Kit.
Let's breathe. Breathe into that heart space. Breathe into that space deep inside of you. That knows peace. If there is something in your mind that feels like it's keeping you from a peaceful place, just breathe into that third eye, that center part of your forehead, the all-seeing eye. Notice if it's open. And breathe a little deeper. What I know is that there is only one power. One divine presence in this experience we call the universe. And that divine presence and power, I give the name love. And what I know is that that love moves in and through everything. In every breath that we take, in every beat of our heart, and that love imparted to us a divine idea called choice. And that divine idea of choice occurs in every second. And what I know is that in this room, and every person in this room and in this community has that capacity to remain awake. It is our work to stay awake. And we stay awake by staying focused on love. And paying attention in every moment. Knowing that we do have choice. that we can choose to be the change in this world. We can choose to be love. We can choose to listen. Really listen. To someone else's joy. And in that, hear our own. Hear our own hearts, hear our own joy, hear our own pain. We let it remind us that we are indeed part of that one power, that one divine idea. We are all indeed connected. It moves in and through us as us. And it is our work to become awake and aware that we are indeed divine. We are indeed divine. And as we stand in the truth of that divinity, the more we stand in that truth, and the more we allow ourselves to shine, we eradicate that darkness. We allow other people to shine. So what I know now is that we have the ability and we take the choice, we make the choice to be the love, to remain awake, to stay conscious and aware of our divinity and our connectedness and our infinite ability to be peace. So embrace the peace within you. Breathe into that peace. Open your heart just a little further. And then reach in there and grab a hold of that joy. Breathe it again. Breathe it out. And lift it up in that beautiful way we affirm in gratitude. Just gratitude. By saying and singing, Hallelujah.